You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
There is a place where time stands still, where nature is harsh and demanding, where only the quick and the strong and the deadly can survive. This place is no place for civilized man.
I want my land.
Could get in the guts, Barry.
Far away from my
home. All you've got to do now is pass the Australian culture test. Three simple questions, three correct answers,
did you get all this
and
together?
You go through that doorway to the greatest little country in the world.
Good morning, everybody, and of course you know that it's Radiothon time on 3CR, and this is Showreel, our look at the Australian film and moving image. Today I'm aiming high. $1,100 is my total for the kitty at 3CR's $300,000 total to keep the station running and for another 50 years. If you haven't realised that 3CR has been running for 50 years, some of you people listening out there won't have even been born. But others will have been spring chickens, and so you can all remember all the great times leading up to this anniversary, which will be celebrated on the 4th of July at the Collingwood Town Hall, but also being celebrated every day with the station running. And of course, we need to be free and independent, and the only way that can be is through listener donations. And there are people who have been donating to Showreel, which I feel deeply honoured by. Zenny gave me $97.56. I think that the bank might have got their cut. And Dove from Sydney, who's a publicist and distributor, he put in the same amount, $97.56. If you want to contribute to this overall total of $1,100, all you need to do is give us a call on 9419 0155. You can, of course, go online and donate. And, of course, that is 3cr.org.au/donate. That's what you can do. And then you could say, oh, I want to put money into Showreel. Or you can say, oh, I want to put money into the other fabulous programs that are on 3CR. And there are a multitude of fabulous programs on 3CR that support community and bring voice to you, not just the listeners, but who have got things that they want to say, but also other people who are banging the drum for a variety of issues. The reason for why I do particularly do Showreel is because I want to make sure people realise that there is a homegrown industry, big, small and in between. And there are also people out there who make films just for the pure love of it. And I want you to know, as an audience to films and other kinds of imaginative and creative endeavours in the moving image area, that there is a lot of skill and love and community and collaboration that goes into everything that is produced, and needs a lot of support for people because it's an expensive type of art, the old moving image, because it connects technical with craft and imagination, and therefore it requires quite a bit of financial grant. And so for us to have a homegrown industry requires a lot of intense love as well as hard graft. And Showreel is one of the few programs. There's a few that are beginning to start again, but Most people seem to think that, you know, auspicing the homegrown talent is for the birds. I don't happen to be one of them, and neither do the other people who have put money in to keep the program going. Peter put in $256.74. I just cannot believe that. Yep, that is a mighty amount. And you can also put money in if you want. You can ring us up on 94190155, 94190155. You can go online, 3cr.org.au/donate. You can also do old school, knock on the door and come in. We do have Von Codens at 3CR. We do have a doorbell, so you can press that to get in. I have put together, I didn't want to just bore you with spruik, spruik, spruik. I thought I'd give you a couple of examples of my wares. I spoke to Fiona Cochran, who has recently made a film about Rod Quantock. It's called Rod Quantock, Comedy Warrior, and he certainly is. If you want to catch this film, you can catch it at the upcoming, going to be at the Castlemaine Documentary Film Festival. You may not know about the Castlemaine Documentary Film Festival, but it's running from June the 26th to the 28th. They've been pretty good at their promotions, but I'm giving it a push as well. So this is a little chat, little excerpt from my little chat with Fiona and the work she's been doing in covering the artistic fields in Melbourne. Rod Quantock, a comedy warrior. Tell me about how you got onto making this film.
Look, I've known Rod for a long time. I first met Rod probably 30 years ago when he was doing some script editing on a script at the time that I was producing. And I became a firm fan of Rod's and used to go and see all of his comedy shows, shared his politics and loved his comedy. And so somebody suggested that he needed to have an interview made about him a few years ago, and I went, I'd love to do that, and in fact I'd love to actually make it into a documentary, which I have subsequently done. But it has taken a couple of years to put it all together. Rod and his family couldn't go out a lot in the public with COVID, so we had to wait for COVID periods, and it's been a bit of a protracted production process, but we've finally got it finished.
Yeah, which is great. Just before we get on to the actual film itself, you've been documenting that whole era that that Rod was a luminary within the Melbourne comedy scene and cultural scene, in fact. You've been documenting this, which is more strength to your arm. It's a great thing that you're doing, really.
Well, yes, I haven't done comedy before, and Rod was the original of the comedians. So, I haven't touched on the comedy area before, but I have done quite a bit with music and with some photographers and a variety of others with that. Because I think it's and I've still got another film later coming in a similar vein too, because it's an incredibly important period where the Australian arts had been in Australia before then, but they tended to just be follow-ons from British arts forms, whereas, you know, the more independent Australian arts really started in Melbourne in the 70s.
Yeah, where people stood up. And he's Rod is an absolute quintessential standing up for the and he's like the show that he did, which was Australia, You're Standing in It.
Yep, along with a group of people with Australia Standing in It. But yes, he was the main stand-up person in there, if you can call him that. He did a lot of sitting down at the time, but he was doing stand-up comedy.
Yeah, but it's really the flavour of it. People were really feeling their oats. They were understanding that they belonged into in a culture, and they were representative of a culture that was real, and they were, you know, reflecting back on the world what they were seeing.
And most of that really started in Melbourne with APG, Pram Factory, you know, with a lot of the theatre actors then, you know, musicians. And as you know, I did Whoopee Blues, which was about the Captain Matchbox Whoopee band, which then became the start of Circus Oz. So all of those different sort of art forms were all starting. And Rod was alongside. And of course, you know, you have to give many thanks to John Pinder, who was behind many of those things in terms of music and comedy and Last Laugh, etc., starting the Last Laugh off. So, yeah, they were the early times that started it all off.
Dump da 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 dump da 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 boom 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 boom. Hi, I'm Rod Quantock, and you're listening to Fill in the Dots. You know who you're listening to. Why do I have to tell you who you're listening to? You know who you're listening to. You're listening to, yes, Fill in the 3CR Community Radio. You got it right. You've won a giraffe. We're at 8:55 a.m. We're on digital radio and streaming at 3cr.org.au. 3CR has been making trouble since 1976, and occasionally I've been part of the trouble that's been made. It's a vital part of our media landscape, and I'd encourage you to get a hacksaw, an oxyacetylene torch, and go up to the Dandenongs and bring down all those broadcast towers that aren't 3CR's towers, and let's make 3CR the only source of information to an information-starved, dumbed-down Australian community. Written, authorised and spoken by Neil Mitchell.
3CR celebrating 50 years.
Throughout the month of June, we're asking you to support fierce, independent and community-controlled media by making a donation to our Radiothon.
We'll be taking donations online, over the phone and in the station to help keep 3CR going for another year.
To donate, go to 3cr.org.au, call the station on 03 9419 8377
or drop in at 21 Smith Street, Fitzroy during business hours.
3CR, celebrating 50 years.
That's right. Be part of it. Don't be a square. Ring in. Put some money in. As Nidita Chakraborty did. She's a filmmaker who we played in interviews with two of cover two of the films that she'd recently made, which she was what she was doing was making films that were covering the culled communities, and the film Shared Table Regional Heroes has really got legs because, as Nadida said, she has not only made these two films using culled technical people, which of course is a way of making sure that people who've got film skills actually get work, but also she's been promoting the fantastic work that different people have been doing in rural parts of Australia, or Victoria in particular, who come from refugee and refugee backgrounds. And this particular film, she just told me last night that this film has made its way to Mumbai Film Festival, so it's going to be played there, and it was also was taken off to the sales markets at Cannes. So you heard it first on Showreel, and we're really proud that we were part of that journey, and She put in, Nadida put in $25. You can also do that. You can ring us up on 94190155. You can go online to 3cr.org.au/donate and designate the program you love to listen to on your community radio 3CR. Make sure that 3CR is able to be broadcast for another 50 years because this is our anniversary. Don't forget, you've got an invitation to the birthday party on the 4th of July at the Collingwood Town Hall. Don't forget, we'd love to see you there. Here's another excerpt from one of the people I spoke to. I spoke to Casimir Burgess. Now, I've spoken to Casimir several times. One was about a film that he did down in the Franklin. It was a fantastic film. It was about a person who was following the trek of his father from his father's journals, who had been part of the Save the Franklin campaign. And this particular documentary was fantastic because it was a personal journey. Also, this person was a trans person who was finding their own feet, as well as marrying their future with their past. But this particular film was called Iron Winter, which was an extraordinary thing. And it tells you something about how Australian filmmakers are expanding their wings in terms of the types of stories they want to cover. This chronicle is about a story from Mongolia's Tashkir Valley, and it follows the exploits of two young fellows who have been entrusted with safeguarding a herd of 2,000 horses during the deadliest winter on record. It's a fantastic, an extraordinary story, and actually this particular interview was one of the most popular ones on the Show Reel podcast, because of course we do podcasts. So this is what this is a little bit of our conversation, Casimir and I. Iron Winter is a fabulously interesting film, and of course it's set on the steppes of Mongolia, basically. How did this come about, Casimir?
There was an article that Edward Cavanagh wrote in Al Jazeera about a herding community there that was sort of, I guess, suffering. They had traditions that were under threat due to climate change and modernization, globalization. But there was a few families that were talking about bringing this tradition of taking 2,000 horses through the Sakhia over winter, 5-month trip at altitude at minus 50, bringing that tradition back. And I thought, yeah, well, I'll head over there with the producers and see if there's a hunger or an appetite for this story to be told.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about the timeline of production versus the real world timeline. How did that correlate?
Yeah, so we were there. We went for a recce, and there was a lot of love for the idea. I think they really wanted this tradition, this pathway to manhood for their young boys captured. So things moved pretty quick after that 3-week recce. We came back for a 5-week shoot, and then we left them and then came back for 7-week shoot. So we weren't there for the full 5 months, although I think you get a really good sense of the resilience and the time and the difficulty of that very long, dark winter.
You got funding from Screen Australia, MIF, Premier Fund and Vic Screen. So how did that come about?
Look, Chris Kamen, Ben Galotta, Morgan Wright, our Australian producers are very good at, have great relationships with the agencies, with MIF and TV, etc. So they cobbled it together, and it was all time critical because the herders were going to go, and we needed to be there. So yeah. I think there was some good momentum just because of that. It was either we're going to be there or not, and possibly the last winter herd after many hundreds of years of this tradition. It was now or never. So we got over there and had an incredible time, but a very difficult time and many near death. It felt like many near death moments, particularly at minus 50. when you've bogged your car, it's midnight, and you're with your Mongolian producer, who thankfully has incredible understanding of the landscape and can read stars and get you back to base camp.
It's a mind-blowing story, really, isn't it? I mean, because you center it on the two young fellows and the broader community that they're part of. It's all about pacing and personality, isn't it, as well as environment?
Yeah, I guess the pacing, it's that sort of slow dread of a really long winter. Hopefully there's joy in this film too, I think, through the friendship. There's lots of laughs, but you're right, the pacing, there's something about time and resilience. And what we experienced in Mongolia was that the Mongolians had a different connection to time. It was like, oh, okay, I'll see you in a couple of hours, and that might be a couple of days. So we had to really just relax into that approach and fall under the spell of the landscape and the culture, and really change our more rigid ways of thinking to get the film made. You throw all your Excel spreadsheets out the window, you know, and fuel reports and this and that. They're just kind of going on intuition and dancing with the storm, as they call it, which is very beautiful in a way, but takes a lot for our more Western approach to adapt to.
Hi, I'm David Bradbury, activist filmmaker, and proud of it. And anytime I'm in Melbourne, I love to do an interview with 3CR and bring you folk up to speed with what I'm doing in different parts of the globe or in my own turf in Australia. It's really important that we have community radio and that you support it and you get out behind 3CR and the events that they promote, and to keep you informed against the mainstream media that wants us to keep our eyes shut and to go back to bed.
And you are with Annie on 3CR, your community radio station, and we're right in the middle of Radiothon. It's your support that keeps the station going. You can give us a call on 94190155, as Belinda did from Northcote. She put in $50, which is great. We've also got that wonderful weird number, $97.56, from Rosemary. We've got 102.69 from Seddon, from Paula, thank you very much. And Christopher, $66.75. I don't know what the bank's cut is, but it's obviously slightly unusual. And of course, TM Publicity, one of the groups of people that promote Australian film, they put in $100. Thank you very much. We still need a bit of more. We need to make $206 of the $1,100 target for Showreel. It's only a little half-hour program, but we're asking you to put a little bit of money in to make sure that 3CR is continuing for another 50 years. Don't forget the birthday party. That's July the 4th at Collingwood Town Hall. We'd love to see you there as listeners. There are other things that I covered over the between last Radiothon and this Radiothon. In fact, I covered 41 things. No, there were actually a couple more than that, because some of the programs had more than one thing in it. There's a $10 pledge for Showreel. Someone's put in through the text system. Excellent reviews and interviews that make me go see the films. And that's from Joe in Garden Vale. Thanks very much, Joe. We really appreciate it. That takes us into the just slightly over 1,000. So we've got 900, just a little bit over 900. So we've still got almost $200 to chase. I have to work out how we're going to do that if you don't put money into it. We're coming close to the end, but we've got other things to share. There was this fantastic production that was put on at ACME, which was part of MIF, Melbourne International Film Festival, last year. It was called The World Came Flooding In. What it was an XR installation which allowed people to put on headsets and walk through a whole series of locations that experienced flooding during the flooding events in Australia through that year, over the last few years, like in Lismore and others. And they were based on personal stories that the artists had collected of time and place from the peoples whose worlds they created for us, so that we could experience what it was like to be part of a flooding experience. And of course, this is a call to action in regards to climate change. I had a word with Isabel Noakes and Van Sowerwine, who were the two artists that put it together. They've had a little experience over years putting together experiential affairs. So this is a very short part of that conversation. Before we get on to the actual thing that we've really come here to talk about, which is The World Came Flooding In, can you tell me a little bit about the technology, the actual technology? Because I know it's a headset, it's headphones, but it's obviously software.
Yeah, so virtual reality is viewed on a headset, and there's, you know, only kind of two big companies, well, maybe three. There's not many big companies in the world that make a headset. Apple have released a new one, and then there's Meta make the Quest that we use. So that was bought by Meta, which is Facebook. So, you know, it's all very big tech companies, which is a concern. But yeah, so there's that hardware that you need to view VR, and then you need software to build it. So usually the elements that go into a VR experience are three-dimensional objects. So they could be a 3D model that's made in, you know, software like Blender or Maya, but then you need software to put it all together. And we use Unity, which is what a lot of people use. There are other engines that are, these are game engines as well, so they're quite complex in the design to make, you know, digital games if you wanted to, but they're also designed to output to these headsets so that you can walk around in a world and really actually be in it or feel like you're in it.
Maybe in conceptually between what we've done and a game is that there's sort of no quest and there's no like tasks and there's no, you know, you don't have to do anything except experience a story and have thoughts and feelings about it. So we've presented a story that you can walk around in, that you can experience. What we've done, just to describe it for people listening, is we've recreated three homes from people who've been through a flood, particularly in 2022 when there was a lot of flooding around. And we've made them in sort of miniature cardboard with physical, you know, bits of paper and cardboard and glue and fabric and things like that.
And it's based on their memory.
Based on their memories. And then we've managed to scan that digitally and put it into a 3D space so you can walk around inside it at life scale, which is, you know,
it's very Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, magical thing where you're walking around a miniature and you can really see that because we're using things like cardboard, you can really see the scale because we all recognise how big cardboard should be, and then it's, you know, this life-size thing. Then you're walking around in this, and the storytellers are telling you about their lives lived in the apartment or the house, and what happened during the flood, and, you know, how they felt about it and things like that. So it's very experiential and a film about their experience, really.
Yeah, and that was fascinating, I must say. The actual experience was fascinating. We've come to the end of the program. This is a radiothon. Coming up next is Published or Not. And we're going to go out with some a track from a group called the number four band. It was featured in a film called The Half Barbaric Twang, and it was a focus on the Gimme Back Me Dog tour, which was... And I spoke to David Field and the filmmaker Stephen DuPont in May. If you want to see the film, it's in the upcoming Melbourne Documentary Film Festival, Saturday, July the 11th at 4:20 p.m. at Nova. And sayonara, still got to make $196. So if you want to put some more money in, go online or ring up. Go online, 3cr.org.au/ and say you want to put it in to Showreel.
I'm gonna get closer to the ground. I'm gonna lie real still without a sound. I'm gonna put my head down in the fading light.
beasts as they prepare for the night. I'm gonna get my heartbeat down real low, so it's beating as the world turns and I sing slow. Keep my mouth shut, I got nothing to say. There's too much talking anyway.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.